Last Sunday morning, as we were focusing upon the early portion of this chapter in Acts chapter 1, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, spent 40 days with his apostles. As he spent that 40-day period with his apostles before ascending up into heaven, we find at the end of verse 3, and if you look at your Bible there at the end of verse 3, well, maybe we'll just begin reading at the beginning of verse 3, to whom also he, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, his apostles, 40 days. And notice it says he spoke to them of things pertaining the kingdom of God. Christ was crucified, laid in a tomb. 3 days later, he was resurrected. After his resurrection, for 40 days, he continued on this earth before his ascension up into heaven that we read about this morning in Acts chapter 1, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. For 40 days, he was speaking to his apostles. He was continuing his teaching. He was continuing his training. He was continuing that preparation for when he would leave them here to carry on the work of God on this earth. And the Bible says he talked to them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We also see that he instructs them not to leave Jerusalem in verses 4 and 5. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them. He said, "Fellows, now don't depart from Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father that I've spoken unto you." And the promise that Jesus was making reference to was the necessity or the need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in verse 5, where he says, "John truly baptized with water, but ye apostles will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence." Now that promise that Jesus was referring to is found in John chapter 14. We'll not turn there this morning. We were looking at it last Sunday morning. But it's found in John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 17, where Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he says, "And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you." Now get this, "that he," the comforter, the Holy Spirit, "may abide with you forever." So when the Holy Spirit of God would come upon the apostles, there would be an ever-abiding presence in their lives. Now that passage goes on to say this, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you." Now listen to this. "And Jesus said, and shall be in you." Now, in John 16, Jesus was speaking in a futuristic sense, because we haven't entered into the New Testament economy yet. Christ hasn't been rejected by the Jews. The kingdom has not been set aside. That took place at Christ's crucifixion. And we're not going to have the birth of the church until the day of Pentecost. And it's not until the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit of God comes down and begins to indwell and baptize all believers. See, the fulfillment of the promise takes place in Acts chapter 2. Look over there just briefly. We'll get to Acts chapter 2 in our study here in a week or so. And as we come to Acts chapter 2, we'll deal with the day of Pentecost in some detail, because there's a great deal of confusion. Can I just say confusion? Conflicting ideas in the world today over what took place on the day of Pentecost and whether or not it's still possible to have a Pentecostal experience with the Holy Spirit, being slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, things that people make reference to today. We'll get to that when we come over to Acts chapter 2. We'll deal with it in some detail so that we'll have an understanding of what the Bible says, because the real issue is not our experience. The real issue is it's not man's experience. The real issue is, thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? Because people can claim a lot of experiences that aren't in line with the Word of God. And no man's experience is the rule. Always remember that. No man's experience is the rule. People say, "Well, I had this experience. This is what happened to me. So this must be the way it is." Now, you don't base your belief upon your experience, because experiences, truthfully, change. Do they not? Isn't that right? Sure. And one person can say, I have this experience. Another person can say, I have that experience. And now we've got conflicting experiences. And what are you going to believe? And that's where we have to come back to the basis of the Word of God. No man's experience is the rule. The rule is the Word of God. We're in Acts chapter 2, folks. The book of Acts and Acts chapter 2. Now look in verse 1, please. In Acts chapter 2, it says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. You say, well, why does it say, you know, why does he use that word fully come? Well, what did Jesus tell them to do? He told his apostles, wait in where? Jerusalem. So what did he tell them to do? Simple. One word. Starts with W. Can you get it this morning? Wait. I know it's sort of cloudy and rainy outside, okay? And I've already been warned. Chris Morris already told me this is a good day to sleep in. I told him, Brother Chris, you're not sleeping in church, brother, all right? And so no, it's not a good day to sleep in church, all right? So is it ever a good day to sleep in church? No. All right. Good. I'm glad we agree at least on something, huh? And so he told the apostles they are to do what? Church? Wait. Wait. So when we come to Acts chapter 2, well, the day of Pentecost is fully what? Come. In other words, the day that you have been waiting for, it's here. It has arrived. So what takes place? What happens? Notice what it says. They were all with one accord in one place. Well, they did what Jesus had said. Wait in Jerusalem. So where are they at? They're there waiting. They're in the upper room and been waiting. And notice it says, suddenly there came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all, hey, I like that. I like that. It says they were, how many?
All
filled with who? The Holy Ghost. Not part of them. Not some of them. But they all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's a wonderful truth to understand about the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God, if you've come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, ever since the day of Pentecost, and we're living past Pentecost, right? But ever since the day of Pentecost, do you realize that every believer has the permanent indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God within? Every child of God. Every child of God has the permanent, eternal dwelling of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God within. See, this is one of the great and glorious truths of the church, that all believers would have the Holy Spirit. Now let's take our Bibles and let's look at some verses showing that. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Romans to your right. In Romans chapter 8, it's just one book over to your right. You ought to be able to find it very easily. And go with me to the book of Romans in Romans chapter 8, page 1201, if you have one of our Bibles that we've handed out here this morning. Page numbers are up on top. One of the exciting truths of what we might term New Testament Christianity is the fact that, you know, in the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints, they didn't have a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why David prayed to God and said, take not thy Spirit from me. Because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon them and the Spirit of God would leave. But we New Testament saints, we've got an eternal indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not because we came to a day of Pentecost in our life, it's because we came to a day of salvation. The very moment we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we probably didn't understand all the things that took place in our lives, but one of the things that took place in our lives is the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of us in that moment of time of our salvation. And in Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 9, the Bible says this. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Scripture says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the who? In the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now notice what it goes on to say. It says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now that verse is contrary to charismatic and Pentecostal theology. Because charismatic and Pentecostal theology says, you can get saved, You can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but then you've got to seek the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You've got to earnestly pray for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Some would say you've got to be slain in the Spirit, and the evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is within you would then be speaking in tongues. That's Pentecostal charismatic theology. So they teach you can be saved but not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. That verse is teaching if you are saved, you know who you have? You've got the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, Christ is saying, you're not saved. You're none of His. Let's look at the verse once again. Notice what it says. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the who? Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, well, I'm saved, but I don't have the Spirit. Well, wait a minute now. That verse goes on to say, you're none of His. You know what he's saying? You're not saved. See, every believer in this age in which we're living, the church age, which began at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came down upon those apostles on the day of Pentecost, you know what the Holy Spirit of God did? He gave birth to the church. Remember Jesus talked to Peter in Matthew 16? And he said to Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Remember that verse? Do you notice that he was talking in a futuristic sense? He was saying, I will build my what? Church. You see, Christ, as he was here, he came first to the Jews. Remember that? And remember John the Baptist's message to the Jews? Yeah? The kingdom of heaven is at what? Hand. Why? Because the king was at hand. And the kingdom had to be rejected by the Jews before the church can begin. So the church had its birthday on the day of Pentecost. Now, every believer since the day of Pentecost has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great New Testament truths of New Testament Christianity. I've got the Holy Spirit of God in me. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess who you've got in you? Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, to your right once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what the Bible says, page 1214. Writing to the Corinthian believers, notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. He puts it in a question form. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, know ye not? Don't you guys realize this? And notice what he was trying to get them to realize. He says, know ye not that ye are the what? Temple of who? God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? In you. Don't you realize this, Corinthians? Don't you realize that you are the literal dwelling place of God? Temple. And don't you realize that the Spirit of God is dwelling where? Inside of you. Glorious truth. If you're here this morning, you're a child of God. You've come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You may not have understood everything that transpired in your life or took place in your life at the moment of your salvation, but one of the things that took place is the fact the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of you. And you have the eternal indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. I like that. That encourages me. That strengthens me because no matter where I go or where I'm at or what kind of situation I get myself into, you know, the Holy Spirit of God's there with me. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. Take your Bibles, go to your right one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, page 1231. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I mean, this is an encouraging truth, church. So don't mind if I get a little excited about it because it's encouraging and it's exciting to realize. And notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit. Now look at where the earnest of the Spirit is. The Bible says, in our what? Hearts. You realize the Bible says that our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God has come into our hearts, not our literal pumping organs, so to speak. And when the Bible uses the reference of the heart, it's talking about the innermost being of man. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of us. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God. That's exciting. That's thrilling. We've got the permanent indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and in our lives. That's one of the blessed truths of New Testament Christianity. Now, go back, if you would please, to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. The apostles have not fully grasped nor understood everything the Lord Jesus Christ had been teaching them. If you lost your place, 1,147. Let me say that again. The apostles had not fully grasped and understood everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had taught his apostles. They just, you know, Jesus said some things to his apostles that that went right over their heads. I mean, the same things happens to us, right? I mean, somebody can say something to us, hey man, our wives can say something to us, goes right over our heads. Right? That's a loaded one, isn't it, fellas? Uh-huh. Now the question, here's the question. The question is, does it go over our heads because we want it to go over our heads? I see some wives agreeing with this now, all right? Pastor Silas is over here defending himself. No. My wife never says anything I let go over my head. We know better, don't we, huh? You know, people can say things to us that we don't grasp, right? And in that sense, it's not that we ignore it. We hear it, but we don't understand it, so it goes over our heads. There are certain things that Jesus had said to his apostles that they didn't fully grasp. I mean, Jesus had told about his death before he ever died. He told his disciples on a number of occasions. But then when that happens, what happens to them? They're all, what's going on? We thought this was the Messiah. We thought this was the one who was going to set up his kingdom. And now he's dying on the cross. In other words, Jesus said some things, but did they fully grasp them? No. That's true even here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. When Jesus was telling them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying, although he had said that even before. I say that based upon what we find in verse 6. Jesus had told them in verse 5, hey, listen, you know, not many days from hence you abide in Jerusalem. Not many days from hence you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. And you come down to verse 6, and it says, and when they therefore were together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? What do they still have in their mentality? Here's the king. The king has come to establish his kingdom. They haven't fully understood the transition that's taken place. They haven't fully grasped that Judaism and the Old Testament economy has come to an end. And now we're coming into the New Testament economy of what we might call the Christian faith or the age of the church. They haven't got a hold of the fact that the dispensation of the law has come to an end. And now they're under the dispensation of grace. They haven't come to fully grasp that the kingdom has not been nullified or done away with. The kingdom's merely been postponed. Did you hear the word? Postponed. Because there will come a day when Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he will establish his kingdom and he will rule and reign on the face of the earth for 1,000 years. They haven't quite grasped that. They haven't quite understood that there's a new thing that Christ is beginning in apostles. You're the instruments that God's going to use to start the church. to get the church going. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God is the transitioner. He's the agent. He's the one who's bringing it to pass. And that question that they asked the Lord Jesus in verse 6, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Really shows us the apostles' need for the coming of the Holy Spirit.